590, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. The Raptors tonight losing to the San Antonio Spurs 113-106, the final. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors, again, losing by seven. And the tough pill to swallow, but this one, I guess, is the way the Raptors battled a good chunk of the evening, Jonesy, and they simply couldn't get over the hump, losing from opening tip to final buzzer. They never held a lead in this ball game, but they continued to battle. And you know, I know that this is probably a moot point for some people, and I can appreciate that. But Bargnani has been sidelined now for how long, and Bayless for how long, and then add to the mix no Klaza tonight. You're talking about three guys that would be in your top six rotation.
Yeah.
Let alone two, arguably, two of your starters and your number one offensive option maybe in the second unit, and outside of maybe Barbosa. And the Raptors, in spite of that, they're still battling against a team that's second in the West and had a chance to tie or even overtake the lead late in the fourth quarter. Simply didn't have enough guns tonight. DeRozan goes for 29. Calderon had 16. He actually got good minutes from Anthony Carter, Rasul Butler, even Gary Forbes, but just not enough tonight. In spite of 55% from the floor, they couldn't get the stops in a timely fashion, and they got lit up by Tony Parker's 34.
Eric, you talk about Bargnani being out. Remember, we haven't seen this guy since Utah. And when you look at still, at this point in the season, players that are responsible for the highest percentage of their team's offense, Bargnani's in the top five. Kobe number one, Durant number two. Like, we're talking big-time players, guys that are responsible for huge percentages of their team's offense. Bargnani's still in the top five. So it hurts that they don't have him. And then you start, losing other people. Klaza tonight, not able to go. There was talk that Calderon's knee was bothering him. You got to believe after all the time he spent last night chasing Jeremy Lin and, you know, giving 25 points offensively. So, is a loss to be expected? Well, in a sense, but you have to look at what they're playing with and who they're playing with and how they're undermanned, and I give this team a lot of credit in that sense.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors again losing 113-106 to the Spurs. We go back to your calls right now. Dimitri in Mississauga, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Guys, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good, Dimitri.
I just want to add on to what you guys were saying. I think that as soon as Bargnani comes back, I think there's going to be a lot more hope for this team. I think we're probably going to end up finishing probably 9th or 10th place. I think that as soon as he comes back, there's going to be a lot more attention towards him, which will allow other players to be open, such as Klaza and such as Bayless, to make those shots that definitely count towards the end of the game. Considering that he's out, I find that there's no major offensive threat on the team. And as a result, the other opposing team will never conduct any double teams. And I find that because of that, the Raptors are overworking themselves to get some points on the board.
All right, thanks for the call, Dimitri. Look, you make a good point in terms of the way they're playing. There are no double teams. But it's also difficult for the Raptors to help space the floor and open driving lanes. Last night, I don't know how many times you think about it that DeMar DeRozan drove in there and he gets to the hoop, but Tyson Chandler's standing there. If Tyson Chandler has to guard Bargnani, Bargnani's pulling him away from the hoop. He's got to respect that. That opens a driving lane. So they also have to play differently, not just the fact that he's missing from their offense and there's no double teams. But now there are fewer driving lanes. Who's stretching the floor? Which big men? I mean, that's the advantage when you have him of playing Klaza at the four. But still, that means Ed Davis is in there or Jamal McGlure or Aaron Gray, one of those big guys that's standing close to the basket within 10 feet inside what they feel is their makeable range. And then there's a big guy standing there to clog the lane. So it's difficult. And you know, as Dimitri said, there's no double teams coming without Bargnani.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, 0590, star 590 on your cell. A couple lines open if you want to join the conversation right now as we head to Brian in Newmarket. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Brian.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm actually leaving from the game. I would say that San Antonio team is the best team I've seen this year in terms of having a lineup from 1 to 10 that's very strong and balanced. Obviously, Parker was brilliant, but Duncan didn't play very much at all, and yet they've got all those other guys who could come in and contribute. So they were very impressive. I was dazzled by our bench play. We haven't had anything like that from guys like Butler and Carter in terms of points and playing well. But San Antonio is just too good and too experienced. So it was a character-building loss, if there is such a thing. What do you think?
Appreciate the phone call. And hopefully it was character-building in a sense that the Raptors continue to try and at least prove to themselves, if not anybody else, that they can play, they can compete without their top players that we've been talking about in the lineup when you think of Bargnani and then losing Kaleza tonight. I mean, how many times do we get calls, Jonesy, or especially folks hitting up on Twitter saying, Anthony Carter, the veteran, is he bringing anything to this team? Well, he proves tonight. He goes out and has a solid game. But at the end of the day, if you're sitting here on one day saying, man, the guy shouldn't even play and he can't back up, but then the next day, Bayless is still out and you're not giving the team any kind of slack in a sense for missing their primary backup point guard or a guy that was starting a lot of games even at the two in recent days and weeks leading up to his latest injury. So you kind of can't have it both ways. And this team is now trying to find ways, maybe not to win because the wins haven't been there, but trying to find ways if they can to win, but at least compete without Bargnani. And it's been a struggle. They were terrible the first time he was out. They've been better, even though it hasn't necessarily translated in actual victories, in this second tour of Bargnani's absence.
Well, they're 1-4 on this homestand now. Could easily be 3-2. If you look back at the Laker game, you look back at the game last night against New York, as you said, four losses by a total of 18 points. That's two possessions in a game. So they're doing a terrific job kind of hanging in with what they have. But, the old adage, they've gone bear hunting with a butter knife.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. James in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, James.
Thanks. Hey, guys. I'm a big Raptors fan, and I think just two things. One being, I really like the hard work that they're putting in, which is a great sign. Always love to see what Casey's doing from a defensive perspective, but they're working really hard, and that's really nice to see. And they're competing even within Bargnani, as you guys have said. And two, I'm actually kind of happy they're losing. I'm sure a lot of Raptor fans are, because if they're giving you hard work and they're losing, that means they're getting another draft pick or a lower draft pick. And just on that, and I guess my question is, guys, is do you think guys like, I guess, Calderon and Kaleza have any value to other teams? And would the Raptors be willing to, well, I'm sure they would be willing, but would they part these players, those type of players, who don't fit the long-term mold of this plan, to lose now and get a better draft pick and then use that money elsewhere in free agency?
Well, thanks for the call. To lose now and get a better draft pick, no. They're professional players. Those guys are not going to do that. And if you accrue all these draft picks and have all these young guys out on the floor, newsflash, you don't win with young players. You need vets to teach them. You need vets to help them through the tough times. I got to tell you, some of the most popular guys or grounded guys in the locker room right now are probably guys like McGlure and Rasul Butler and Anthony Carter. Everybody's on this Oklahoma City thing, and I see where people are coming from. But they got busted when they had all those young guys. They had seasons of 21, 22, 23 wins before they finally broke through. They made the playoffs, and they had a first-round exit. You can't just look at the draft and young players and say, oh, yeah, get a bunch of young guys and we can do it. You don't win. The two teams in the NBA Finals last year, Miami and Dallas, were the oldest two teams in the league. It takes time. And you can't just throw all the vets away and get young guys because you can't win with young guys. We're joined by JYD, Jerome Williams. And JY, you know it takes vets. Somebody taught you before you could teach somebody else.
In 2001, second round of the playoffs, we got to that second round because we had the Oakleys, the Davises, the Dell Currys, Tracy Murray's. You had veterans, myself, you know, who was a mid-range guy.
Yeah,
a
young
old,
vet.
I wasn't young. I was a young vet.
Well, and those are the guys you're looking for. Been in the league 4, 5, 6 years, kind of understand what's going on and are still physically able to play. They're not the vets that have been 13 years and are just playing with guile and you know, in their head as opposed to their bodies.
And I watched 3 years of playoffs with the Detroit Pistons, so I had 3 years of playoff experience.
What did you think about the game tonight, Jerome, when you look out there and see this team playing? Again, no Bargnani, no Bayless. They lose Klaza after last night. He's not in there. And the compete level that we saw from this club with some of those vets, like a guy like Anthony Carter and Rasul Butler finally given some good minutes in the second unit as well.
And absolutely. They played hard. You know, they didn't have enough bullets in the holster.
Right.
But they still represented and they still gave a great effort. And that's what you want to see. When you're not coming to the fight fully loaded, like the San Antonio Spurs were. You look like on the stat sheet and Tim Duncan plays 19 minutes. You know, obviously Pop is making sure he keeps those guys rested because he understands the length of the season and the amount of games that these guys are playing in. He just got Manu back.
Yep.
And on our side of the fence, we have injured players. And we're still competing with these teams, so that's good stuff.
Let's go back to the calls right now. We've got Wayne in Burlington. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Wayne.
Hi, season ticket holder, just coming back from the game. Listen to you guys a lot and enjoy it as I'm leaving the games, but I've never called before.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
My belief is that we can't sort of come in at 9 or 10 and grow that way. I'm happy. I mean, I love Bargnani, but I'm happy that he's out. I love these close losses because it means that we're playing well. But as far as I'm concerned, it's about maintaining a good draft pick. Yeah, you need a mixture of old and young, but we've got some space that we can do that. I think that it with one more good guy and to spend some money. I don't think they spend anything this year on purpose, but if we can then go out and pick somebody up, then we've got an opportunity for a great nucleus in the future. My question is, how's the guy doing our European draft pick? How's he doing this year? What do you guys think his potential is coming into the NBA next year?
All right, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas and Jonesy, he's played very well. He's been
Up
some good numbers, and actually, I believe last week got some hardware in terms of being named not rookie of the year. I can't remember
kind
the
term. Kind of best young,
best player. Young player.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, our caller, thanks for calling first time. He makes a good point in that you're going to get a good young draft pick, but you need to, with the money you have, go out and spend and get some of those guys that Jerome Williams is talking about, some of those young vets that have been in the league 4, 5, 6 years, understand how to play, are good players, fit your system well. But here's the catch-22 with that. Money or not, if those guys don't see a chance to win, they're like, well, hey, you know, I'm not going there. So you have to sprinkle in enough wins to show potential to attract guys like that. Now, are you messing with your draft pick that everybody wants?
We got to take a break here 1 minute, but we'll talk to the guy who's played in this league at this level. If you're out there, let's say you're a free agent right now. I'm putting you on the spot here. You're a free agent right now. You see Toronto playing hard this year, but at the end of the year they're, I don't know, 15 and 51 in a 66-game season. Is that enough seeing a young team? Oh, okay, well, this Valanciunas kid, I've heard about him. My agents told me about him. He's playing well. Oh, they just got the number 2 pick. Oh, they picked up Jared Sullinger. And they got $15 million to spend. Yeah, I'll take 7.5 from them, or I'll take 8 from them. I could maybe get 6 somewhere else, but I'll take that extra million maybe. Or does it have to be a boatload of cash in order for you to go? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they going to have to vastly overpay, or are you willing to take 7 from them or 7 from a championship contender because you just want to be a part of that young up-and-coming team?
They pretty much have to vastly overpay because you got to think of all the other young teams with players that are going to be low or as low as we are. So if you take Washington Wizards, for instance, they got a center, young center in JaVale McGee.
Right.
They got
John Wall,
up-and-coming point guards that's going to be around for the next 10 to 15 years in John Wall.
They got a Nick Young who can score.
Got a Nick Young who can score. Now, if you're looking at free agency as a vet, that might be more attractive.
Or if Toronto finishes, Eric says 15-51, if they finish 27 and, you know, whatever, and they've got 10 or 12 more wins and there's more of a potential to get into the playoffs, does that become a mitigating factor against, well, Washington might have better pieces, but these guys might be closer to winning. The winning
factor is... That's what I'm saying. The winning factor takes hold because if you're at the bottom and you're looking at it from the bottom perspective, then you're looking at the young talent that's around.
Right.
And you're trying to estimate as a mid-vet. Remember, you're telling me I'm a mid-vet.
Yep.
And how am I addressing this situation? So I'm addressing it on potential on the defensive end, and then how fast is our point guard? Because that's me, because that's my game is up and down. And defense,
it's got to be a fit, right?
Need a shot blocker.
Yeah, it's got to be a fit.
Yeah. So other players is going to be different.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Are you sticking around for a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right, Jerome Williams, the Junkyard Dog, is staying for at least another 10, 15 minutes. So right after 10 o'clock, after the sports update, we're coming right back to your calls. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll get you on the air. It's Eric Smith, Paul Jones, and Jerome Williams. It's The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Here till 11 o'clock. Phone lines open at 416-870-0591. 888-666-0590. *590 on your cell. Taking the calls right up to 11. Reaction from the locker room coming up later on as well. Jerome Williams, the Junkyard Dog, longtime NBA, former Raptor, joining us for the next 10 or 15 minutes. And we're welcoming him into the conversation as well. Jack Armstrong.
Jacko!
And this does work now?
Hello, 1-2.
There we go.
There we go. There you go.
Little
modern technology, Jack.
There it is.
We got the round table happening here.
We got the round table as Raptors television analyst, former NCAA coach Jack Armstrong, joining us on the program as well. Jack, we've been talking to Jerome about this. We just kind of put Jerome on the spot and said, how much does winning versus potential impact a free agent? And we've talked about this a couple of times on pregame shows, but when you're the Raptors and the fan base that understandably continues to talk about, hey, well, you know, top draft pick, and you know, I don't think any of us here buy into the whole tank and losing intentionally type theory. But what's your sense of how you balance the winning versus being just good enough to lose versus trying to improve via the draft, via free agency, selling yourself to free agents around the league? Jerome just admitted, yeah, I'm going to look at a team that wins 15 games, 17 games, maybe go, I got to stack them up against maybe another young team. And Jerome used the example of Washington. Good young center, good young point guard, maybe money to spend. Are those pieces better than what Toronto has? Are they better than what Charlotte has?
And who wins? Who's won more games?
And I think a major factor for free agents is the idea of the potential for winning. If they're not winning or they're on the cusp, and when they're not winning, then you're in a mindset. I think Jerome, you would agree with me that organization is going to have to overpay me a little bit if I'm going to go.
Bingo.
If I'm going to go through the
it's like you were listening.
No offense, I wasn't, but I mean, I think you have, you know, if I'm going to go through pain and suffering my first 2 years of a 4 or 5 year deal, then you got to overpay me a little bit. So
my bed has to be buttered.
So I think that's the issue right now, and whether it be for Toronto or any team that's struggling at this stage of the game, that's the predicament that you're in. So you always want to be that much closer to winning because it brings the price down what you have to pay for a potential free agent.
And Jack, that being said, you weigh it against if you don't win, the price for those guys goes up, and the younger, maybe slash better draft pick you have doesn't have the same type of veteran presence to teach him when you get into the locker room.
No, that's legitimate. And you know, Jerome played with these guys. So, you know, you look at what Butch Carter and Glenn Grunwald did. I think they did a good job of saying, okay, let's acquire some older guys that have favorable contracts that can provide leadership and depth, and then also surround them with young impact players. And it's a formula that you got to look at again here in Toronto, because you could talk all you want about this draft and getting a good young player. They need to add, and they're going to have two good young players with their kid, Jonas Valanciunas, and another one. But on top of that, I think you got to add, you know, veterans in whatever salary cap space that you have, and maybe even look to swing a trade to get another veteran in.
Jack, and that's what we're saying. People keep saying, well, you know, it's okay, a loss like this, it's a close loss, gets us closer to a draft pick. It can't all be whoever this draft pick might be. It can't be that one kid with all that pressure. You're going to get a kid who's like 19 or 20 years old coming in to your team, and he needs some help. He's going to have other young pieces, but you need some free agent help. And I Eric and I see it all the time. People, we hear it on the call in here. Well, it's okay, a close loss gets us closer to another draft pick. That's not the magic elixir in isolation. It's a piece, and we looked at guys. In the last five drafts, the last four drafts, like, you go back to LeBron, after that, it's been Durant. I mean, we've named some very good players that have been pieces. Al Horford, Mike Connolly, you know.
Russell Westbrook.
They're pieces.
James Harden.
And here's the crazy thing. I think a kid like Corey Joseph, who plays with the Spurs, who's probably not going to play a whole lot his first few years, he's got a better chance to be a good pro than a lot of these guys that are breaking in on lousy teams.
Yes.
Because he's learning good professional habits from men who've won. And I think there's something to be said for that. I call it the L.A. Clippers syndrome. For years and years, they would be picking in the top five, and they never got any better. It was a dysfunctional mess because you had no internal leadership and no veterans that showed guys how to be professionals, and you had a revolving door every 2 years with coaches.
Well, I'll tee you up for another 300-yard drive, Jones. I've been doing that tonight.
300-yard drive?
Oh, he's a monster. He's a monster.
Yeah, 300 on a machine, 300-yard drive.
What about?
With Iron Mike swinging the driver jacket,
to Jack's point, though, Jonesy, what about, we talk about it ad nauseum, the Minnesota Timberwolves. How many top five, let alone top 10, if you want to extend it out to that, top 10 picks, top five picks does that team have? And how long has it taken them to finally now start being a average team this
relevant
year?
Yeah, just finally relevant around the 500 mark.
They had to stop picking all those point guards, number one.
Well, but I mean, you've got to make the right pick.
They love point guards over there.
You got to make the right pick, and then as Jack and both of you guys have alluded to, you've got to have people to teach them. And don't think it hurts. I mean, it helps the fact that they have Rick Adelman, a guy that knows too, on that leading that coaching staff. So you know,
and now they got a number two pick that doesn't play.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yeah. For all our fans, you know, all the Raptor fans, all our callers that say, "Well, it's another good loss, close to another draft pick." Yes, that's all well and good, but that's one piece of the puzzle. It's not the final piece either. It's still going to take time.
All right, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. I'm going to go around right now to all three of you. Just give me a name. We don't have to go into great detail. You're not drafting based on need. You're drafting best player available. It's February 15th. You've still got 4 months till the draft. You've got another month till the tournament starts. A ton can change. So that's the preface. It's February 15th. Jerome, number one pick right now, today,
Kentucky. Davis.
Jonesy.
Anthony Davis.
Jack.
Davis. And then, you know, if I'm the Raptors and I have that pick, then I have the luxury of being able to now move one or two of my bigs for a veteran player. You know, guys that have already proven that they could do something.
And when you say one or two of your bigs, you mean Davis or Amir Johnson.
Maybe.
Would you move Bargnani?
I don't think so, but I would say with Bargnani and Valanciunas, and then I would say Davis or Johnson now become tradable commodities. And I say that with all due respect to those guys, because I think there's a lot of teams out there that would benefit from those guys if you ended up doing that. So
once you start talking, Jack, you guys know how deals go, right? Like we said, if the fans knew the phone calls that were made every day amongst front offices, their heads would blow up. I heard this rumor. I mean, all you have to do is make a call and say, hey, what's it going to take to get Jerome Williams? Well, it's going to take this. Oh, really? Well, what if we throw this guy in? Well, look, if you throw that guy in and that guy, now we're talking, and boom. So if somebody knocks your socks off, Jack, you never know what the offer could be.
But you got to send a car to pick up Jerome this time and not make him drive in a snowstorm.
And you got to get the guy a sweater, because I've noticed now he comes back to
Toronto.
He's
king of the V-neck, right?
He's a vest.
Big shot. You know, he lives in the warm weather climate, and he can't handle the cold weather anymore.
Oh, I can handle it. See, that's how I come back.
You just don't like it.
Let's go to Mike in Montreal. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, you're welcome, Mike.
You actually just touched on one thing that I wanted to talk about. If you guys could, when these fans phone in and say, oh, you know, it's a good loss, Bargnani shouldn't play for the whole year, you should ask these guys, who do you think they should draft? Because I bet you 80, 90% of the normal fans have no idea what college players are out there.
I would agree with yep. that.
We'd all agree with that.
Right? So, you know, if you're just going to the game to watch the team lose to pick up somebody, at least have somebody in mind when you're going to say that.
You know, I'll say this. I think the free agent class, whether it be unrestricted or restricted, and the trade market is more pivotal to the Raptors getting better than a draft pick.
Thank you, Jack.
I really feel that way. Will the draft pick help? Yeah, both of those draft, you know,
not immediately.
Valanciunas and the other kid will help over a 2 to 3 year period.
Right.
They'll add depth immediately. But in terms of impact and making you better right away for the 2012-13 season, where you've absolutely got to get this thing turned and start contending for a playoff spot, then you need to get men in here that can help you win.
Well, and speaking to that point, no pun intended, you're going to have to address the point guard situation at some point, because even if Calderon isn't dealt or people have thrown out the amnesty thing, who knows? He's playing at a hell of a high level right now. He's got another year on his contract after this year as well. So whether he plays it out here in Toronto, whether he's moved on, at some point you're going to need to address the point guard position. And unless you're finding one late in the first round, if you're picking up a second first-round pick or uncovering something in the second round that ends up becoming a legit enough guard that, dare I say, could actually start for you, let alone actually be a backup, you will need to address via trade or free agency at some point in the next 6 to 12 to, at the very longest, 18 months, who your floor general is going to be for the next 3 to 5 to 7 years. That's a huge question right now.
I'd say you hold on to him. I really do.
Even if you do hold on to him, Jack, are you re-signing them to
I'm
saying it is a reality facing you.
You can get a good free agent or a good point guard that can be a respectable guy that, if need be, if you have other good pieces around them, they can come in and do a good job. But I think right now, in between now and the end of next season, I think Jose Calderon is the logical guy. And, you know, when people talk about amnesty, I don't see it right now. I really don't.
I wouldn't.
I think he's playing at a really good level. I think he's more of a trade piece.
He's a valuable trade commodity.
Than he is an amnesty piece.
Yep, because a veteran, a championship-caliber team, who knows what they'd give you to try and pry him free.
Maybe I just want you to know you've been amnestied, by the way.
You're not saving a whole lot of money. I'll tell you that. Jack, how much you got in your pocket right now? That's about what you're going to save by amnesty.
Let me get the coins. I think I got $6.
Well,
$5.
You're going to have a couple more after tonight. We had a little wager on the game tonight, Jack and I.
JYD's got to hear about this.
So we made a bet last night that
we've had great crowds.
The attendance tonight, Jack felt, was going to hover somewhere in the 14 to 15
range.
No,
I said it was going to be below 16 because the crowds – the Celtics, the Lakers.
Below 16.
And it's been unbelievable.
Wow. And I said
unbelievable,
JYD. I said over 16 for sure. I was putting it at about 17 at least.
So I said it was going to be in the 15.
Attendance tonight, folks, 15,999.
Somebody owes.
I lose by one body.
One body. That one person. That one person sitting right out here.
That's why
right
I don't
now,
buy lottery tickets.
Through this glass. The Dogtown members who didn't have a ticket.
Exactly. Yeah, the one drunk guy that couldn't get in the building.
Well,
huh?
Let him in next time.
So I get an ice cold beverage because I upped you one.
Too bad I'm on the air till 11. You still going to be around?
I don't think so.
No, we'll have to amnesty that deal. We'll continue with your phone calls after the break. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Reaction from the locker rooms coming up as well. The Raptors losing to the Spurs 113-106 on the Rap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Does he play hard? And 20 years ago, the league was filled with guys like that. Now, not so much. And I think he's taking a real advantage of playing hard, and good for him.
We'll continue with your calls after the 40 Sports Update. We'll head inside the locker room as well to hear from some of the Raptors. Zach Cooper was down there from Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and you'll hear from the Raptors next as they lose tonight to the Spurs, 113-106. It's the wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Zach Cooper of Sportsnet 590, The Fan, was down in the Raptors locker room. He joins us now to set the scene of what it was like in the locker room for the Raptors as they lose by 7 to the Spurs, 113-106.
Yeah, it was a little bit morose. It's basically very similar to what we've seen over the last few games, except, you know, in the case of last night, you can substitute Lynn for Tony Parker. And the one thing that obviously went down tonight more so than last night was the fact that there was a fair amount more treatment going on in the back room. I mean, guys were getting bandaged up, getting iced down, and whatever goes on behind the curtain. But
Zach, let me ask you, could you get a feel for the mood? I mean, they're playing their butts off, and as Eric calculated, what, 18 points, E?
18 points.
Four losses on this homestand, 1-4 by 18 points. That's two possessions total per game.
Yeah.
Like, do you get the feeling that they, like, I mean, from a body language standpoint, from an attitudinal standpoint, that they've just been beat down, or are they ready to come back and take it to Charlotte
on Friday? See, that's the thing, because I feel like it's somewhere in the middle, because they're all saying exactly what Coach Dwayne Casey is saying, and that, you know, they can learn from these experiences. They're playing great teams in most of these instances as well.
Yeah.
Very well, but it comes down to that late game execution, which just isn't there. And they're all saying, yeah, we're learning from this. And I'm trying to get specifics out of them. Like, what can you take from this? What do you take from a double dribble down the stretch after a big blocked shot? And it's, I mean, they're throwing out the company line, which you can respect, because it means they're at least listening to their coach. But I don't know. I mean, you tell me. Do you see anything that's changed from the last game? This is a young team that's obviously going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is something that necessarily can be rectified with this personnel and this season, when there's simply not enough time in between games to correct.
And that's the thing. I think the time element is huge, Zach, in terms of practice. Mm-hmm. And can it be corrected? Yeah. I mean, it's part of winning and learning how to win. But you still have to take the step forward, and you think about it, next year you're going to be integrating new people. Valanciunas, a draft pick, free agents. So it's important to set the tone with these guys here. But I just wondered what the attitude was like.
You know what I've seen, to maybe answer your question, Zach, is that I don't know if I've seen improvement, but I haven't seen slippage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And that's crucial,
in a sense, is improvement. Yeah. The fact that, in spite of all that, and maybe that's what Casey keeps talking about, is that they're 9-22 now, but they continue to battle. And going to Jonesy's point that you talk about all the time, they're getting enough of those tastes. Sure, they'd like more, but they're getting enough of those tastes that they still continue to fight and still continue to play defense generally, maybe not tonight, 54%, but play hard and battle back and battle
engaged,
the Spurs.
Right?
Stay engaged and stay into it in spite of 9-22 and in spite of the calls and the plays that kind of don't sway their way.
And this is the kind of stuff that you'll hear from when we get to the sound, because, you know, I spoke to Anthony Carter, one of the vets, who obviously doesn't play that much, but in a game like tonight, he's a crucial presence. Then we go to DeMar and you know, what he can pick out from a game like this, and what he can pick out from, you know, that stretch in the third quarter where he's, you know, caught fire and the Raptors as a whole.
Yeah.
And we talked to Amir about that as well, you know, where that intensity came from, him pretty much setting the physical tone with Jamal McGlure. And we spoke to Jose as well about, you know, basically the same kind of principles, and one of the things we asked him was, how do you maintain this kind of intensity that comes against, you know, the Knicks, the Spurs, the Lakers, the Celtics, and bring that against the Bobcats? So these are the things that hopefully they'll answer for you.
So who are we hearing from first then?
Well, I think it would probably be ideal to hear from Anthony Carter, who would be, you know, he I think probably shared the most insight as to the general consensus from the locker room and how the guys are feeling.
So another close game against a tough team. Where's your head at?
My head is still straight. You know, we playing tough teams, and you know, all the guys just been playing with a lot of heart, and we just got to keep it up for these next couple of games coming up. But I think we learned a lot from those games, and those are tough teams to beat. But you know, we're in every game, and we just got to keep our momentum and our effort going.
Tony Parker was doing what Tony Parker does. So what is it about him that just makes him?
He was making some tough shots tonight. You know, I was playing great D on him. Then when we did switch, the bigs was playing great D on him. He was just making tough shots. But that's what he get paid to do. You know, he's a quick point guard. He's a smart point guard. And, you know, they stretched us out a little bit with their shooters, and that was kind of tough. But, you know, he did his thing. But as a team, you know, we did our best on him.
How was it playing in the backcourt with Jose towards the end of the game?
It was very different. I forgot the last time I played with another point guard on the floor. And it was kind of weird, but Jose can score the ball, and I stayed at the point. And it was a good experience, and, you know, maybe we can keep it going.
With the injuries you guys had, obviously the bench got a lot more work tonight. What did you make of sort of the effort that you guys had with the bench tonight?
We did a great job with the effort, you know, and that's what it's going to take sometimes. You know, the starters ain't going to have it all the time, and it's our job to come in and change the game and bring a little bit more energy. And I thought everybody did a great job of being ready, you know, from Rasul not playing, then Gary not playing. You know, guys came in and did a great job.
Being one of the vets, I mean, you know, coach is echoing the sentiment that, you know, you guys are getting close. It's just the little things down the stretch that you need to work on. Is this something that you're also kind of harmonizing with him when talking to the younger guys about doing?
Oh, definitely. You know, that right there is the big key. You know, we in the games, and that's what we miss a guy like Andres, you know, to kind of help us close it out. And, you know, we still got a lot of young guys on this team, and, you know, we still learning as a unit on how to close games out and not just throw the ball away like down towards the end. But I think everybody's learning, and those last three games, you know, was a good example of it.
How does that come together? I mean, how do you go from a young team that makes these mistakes down the stretch to one that is able to put it together?
Oh, we just got to keep on looking at it and learn from our mistakes. The coaches does a great job of showing us, you know, the key situation where we got to protect the ball and make these kind of plays instead of trying to make the home run plays and just do the simple things. So we just got to keep pounding it in our head, you know, with the films and try to put it together on the court.
There's Anthony Carter of the Toronto Raptors.
The vet.
And, the vet, yep. Trying to be the voice right now for this team.
It's tough. Look at the guys they played over the last little while. Brandon Jennings. Then you had Boston's big three. They actually got a win there. Kobe and company. Jeremy Lin and, you know, Stoudemire coming back. A playoff-seeded team, the Knicks. And then the second-best team in the West tonight, the Spurs.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to Daniel and Sutton. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, guys. First, I wanted to thank Mr. Jones for being an amazing math teacher and basketball coach.
Boy, but Daniel, you're making me old, and I hope you're not that old either, man.
This was late 80s, I think.
Okay.
And grade 8.
Back at Arlington?
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, so thank you. Great times, and we had a lot of championships. And I remember the three-a-day practices that you made us do before school, at lunch, and after school.
You don't get better by sitting around, man.
No, so you worked us hard. Thanks, man. And my question is, if, you know, from what I understand, to be a contender, you need elite players. Do we have anyone on our roster who could be an elite player at some point?
Thanks for the call, Daniel, and the kind words. Man, that takes me back. I think
it's like
so.
This is your life.
I think so, and I think we're seeing that with Bargnani. And, Eric, you and I, last year, at the end of the year, we sat in here, and people were ready to get rid of Andrea. I'm done with him. Trade him. Like, it's... And I just say the time.
The president and general manager was very critical of him at the end of the season.
He said he was enigmatic, right? The enigma of all enigmas.
Yep.
But people develop at different times. And when you put work into people, you just don't throw it out and get rid of it like that. And with all the circumstances, 5 years in the league, people being critical of him, adjusting to a new culture, being on his own, getting a new coach, the light's gone on for Andrea. I would consider him, I mean, he was getting all-star, you know, notoriety and recognition from people around the league before he got hurt. And people now, you know, we hear people calling in and they're down on DeMar. He's this, he's that. The guy, like I said, he's in his third year. He should be a senior at USC. Like, give it time. And to your point, Daniel, Do I think there's elite players on this roster? They aren't elite now, but there's potential. And what you can't measure is how hard somebody's willing to work and getting to the right situation. I've got two words for you. Jeremy Lin.
Folks, want to thank you for all of your phone calls this evening. We've been back-to-back till 11 o'clock. We'll do it again on Friday night after the Raptors host the Charlotte Bobcats. We've had a ton of time to talk over the last, almost a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
After Friday, Jonesy, a rarity, getting some days off as the Raptors go from having, six games and I think 9 days to having one in the next eight, as they will play Friday against the Bobcats and then not again till next Wednesday, then hit the All-Star break and not play again till the following Tuesday when they hit the road for two in New Orleans and in Houston. Again, the Raptors losing tonight to the San Antonio Spurs, 113-106. Toronto now sitting at 9-22, having lost three in a row, and they are now 1-4 during this current seven-game homestand. Thanks to Joe Sicilia, also Matt Brown, Tom Young, Aston Duport, and Zach Cooper. For Paul Jones, I'm Eric Smith. It's been The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.